For centuries, ants have fascinated scientists and philosophers. The colonies, full of individuals, act together as one organism to survive. And now, the University of Pennsylvania is investigating ant behavior at the molecular level. WHYY's Jessica McDonald reports on some very social insects.
Inside the ant lab at Penn, about 4,000 carpenter ants coat the inside of a Tupperware-like container. If you get them angry, the ants fling themselves against the plastic floor.
See, they're kind of like shaking.
Postdoctoral researcher Daniel Simola says the threatened ants are raising the alarm. The nest looks chaotic, but ant technician Christina Brady insists it's quite tidy. The ants have even designated a corner of the box to use as a collective bathroom and garbage dump.
This is where they put the ants that have passed away, old food that they've eaten. Some species of ant, when they feel like they're on their way out, will actually carry themselves to the trash pile. Like, no, sisters, it's okay, I've got this.
The brawnier ants, Simola says, defend the nest. The smarter, smaller ones are navigational experts that forage for food. He's interested in them because those physical and behavioral differences can't be explained genetically.
A colony is made up of lots of different individuals that are highly genetically related, in some cases clones of each other. So it's essentially like doing a giant twin study in a small box.
Each ant is equipped with the same set of genes. Which ones are actually used is controlled by an elaborate system of molecular tags that can be passed down generation to generation. These so-called epigenetic modifications to DNA or its surrounding proteins don't change the underlying sequence, but they can mean the difference between a soldier ant and a tiny brainy one. Roberto Benazio, another ant researcher at Penn, likens these marks to a symphony orchestra.
If the genome is the score of a symphony for a whole orchestra, then each different player will use a different part of the score, and what tells which player which score to play, those are the epigenetic mechanisms that we studied.
In humans, the mechanism drives why a given cell develops into a liver cell rather than a brain cell, for example. Epigenetics is thought to be hugely important in fully understanding human behavior and disease, including cancer. The tiny tags can dial down or turn off genes that protect against tumors, or they can turn on genes that promote cancerous growth. Ants, with their clearly defined castes, offer an easier, cleaner way of beginning to get at the basics. Already, Simola has found that feeding ants a drug that alters the epigenetic landscape makes a brawny ant behave like a brainy one. Returning to the orchestra analogy, Benazio says,
if the different ants are playing different parts of this big score for a big orchestra, then Dan managed with a small molecule to make the violinist ant play the piano.
The researchers are studying Jordan's jumping ant, too. Benazio says the queen and worker ants of this species share the exact same DNA.
And yet the queen lives much longer, has a very different behavior, lays eggs, and the worker doesn't.
Professor Shelley Berger, one of the lead researchers on the project, says queens can easily live several times longer than a worker.
But they also go through a neurodegeneration and an eye degeneration. So apparently it's not required, when you're a reproductive queen at least, to be able to see or to have a full brain.
The intriguing thing about this species, Benazio says, is that they are an upwardly mobile society.
If you remove a queen from a colony, or if the queen dies in the wild, some of the workers start dueling with each other.
They fight until a winner emerges, ascending to the throne as a replacement queen or gamergate. Back in the lab, Christina Brady identifies a pair of squabbling sisters, using their antennae to slap each other.
You can see these two right here dueling. So this is the beginning of the process of gamergate ascension.
Berger says they think the process is controlled epigenetically in response to the sudden absence of the queen, who has her own scent.
They're getting this signal from the queen. The queen's telling the workers that everything's fine. I'm reproducing. Everything's cool. But once that scent is gone, once the queen's scent is gone, they completely change behavior.
Later, if a more dominant queen arrives, the replacement will back down, reverting to a worker. She'll lose the ability to reproduce, and her life will be cut short. But she'll also regrow parts of her brain and eye.
Our hope is that we can look at this neurodegeneration in ants and try to understand epigenetically what's going on, and possibly relate that to humans, because there's new evidence that neurodegeneration, Alzheimer's disease, for example, has an epigenetic component.
Berger says any application to humans is still many years away. but it's something to think about the next time you're about to squash a pesky ant for stealing some food. I'm Jessica McDonald, WHYY News.